23. The Mayflower Compact. The pilgrims gazed at the mysterious land which loomed before them. There's something wrong here. Something's amiss. I don't think this can be Virginia, said Mr. Lovelace sternly to his wife. I am sure that this is not Virginia. Wherever it is, it's not the place we agreed to sail to. He turned to a fellow pilgrim standing beside him. Man, he said, I'm sure this is not Virginia. He pointed to the shore. There's something strange here. Mr. Lovelace tapped his son on the shoulder. I'm sorry, Justice. You were right about the captain. It seems as though you were right. He did indicate a position on the map too far north. That's not Virginia. He flung his hand defiantly towards the shore. A subdued but anxious murmur broke out from the bystanders. Mr. Lovelace moved off quickly and quickly gathered two other pilgrims and sought out the captain. Justice and Prudence turned to see their father. They caught sight of him and the other two pilgrims as they talked with the captain. There was a great deal of agitation. Mr. Lovelace pointed to the shore. The captain shrugged his shoulders, and the group disappeared inside his cabin. Almost at once, three of the adventurers climbed the steps and vanished inside. Justice and Prudence wondered whatever could be going on inside the cabin. They could picture in their mind's eye the panelled walls. They visualized the chart upon the table, the captain seated before it and all his finery, the pilgrims dressed in black. Adventurers stood around, their swords hanging from their waist belts. What can be going on? What can be going on? Without warning, the cabin door opened and out stepped the pilgrims. How grim they looked, straight-faced and thoughtful. Their feet clattered down the steps and across the deck back to the pilgrim company. Mr. Lovelace raised his hand and appealed for silence. Order, please, my friends, he called out. Listen, please. The hubbub died down. Like a tidal wave, the noise receded until just one or two rippling voices could be heard. With embarrassment, these quite quickly ceased, and silence descended upon the whole company. All that trespassed upon the silence were the ship's creaking timbers and the wild pounding of the surf upon the nearby shore. Mr. Lovelace's steady voice carried loud and clear to the people. My friends, I'm sorry to say that we have been deceived, yes, deceived, deceived yet once again. He slowly shook his head. A chorus of groans greeted his remarks. Are you sure, Matthew? Or what do you mean, deceived? Earnest cries escaped from a dozen mouths. Mr. Lovelace raised his hand to silence the disbelieving hearers. Yes, my friends, we have been deceived once more. Are you sure, Matthew? Are you sure? Yes, we are sure. I'm afraid we've been deceived once again. This is not the end of our journey. He pointed to the shore. This is not our promised home. This is not Virginia. We are 300 miles too far north. Another louder chorus of despair sounded from the people. 300 miles? 300 miles north? Why, Matthew? Isn't this Virginia? A forest of arms waved at the shore. No. This is not Virginia. I'm sorry to have to say this. I'm afraid the adventurers have made friends with the captain, behind our backs. It's most likely they have bribed him to bring us to this place, and not to Virginia. That seems, to us, to be the most likely explanation. He pointed to his two pilgrim associates. As I said, we're 300 miles too far to the north. This is Cape Cod, not Virginia. We have to swing to the south and sail down the coast if we are to reach our hoped-for home. What's to be done, Matthew? Listen, my friends. We've decided upon two things. Listen. First, the captain will turn the vessel south and sail to Virginia. That was the contract. That is what we paid him for. We shall sail down the coast, keeping the land in sight to reach the settlement. Secondly, we decided we've had enough of being deceived. We decided to draw up a covenant with the adventurers. What do you mean? What covenant? We'll draw up a covenant that we and the adventurers must sign, a contract between us both. We've been deceived too many times. Well, we have, haven't we? We've had enough of lies, false promises, and half-truths. Remember, we've got to live with these people and set up home together. So we must know where we stand with them. And we want to know where we stand now. So we're going to arrange, and before we land to, we're going to arrange that this new colony of ours shall be governed in a right and sensible way. We haven't sailed all this way across the wild Atlantic to lose our freedom at the 11th hour. Do you agree, my friends? The pilgrims nodded their assent. We do. We do agree, said one for them all. A chorus of agreement sounded after him. The pilgrims were weary with their journey, heartily weary, and gravely, bitterly disappointed at this latest setback. But they were determined, determined that they would sail on until they reached their desired haven, and they wanted things sorted out before they set foot on shore. No one shall be allowed to leave the ship until this matter is finished to our satisfaction, went on Matthew Lovelace. No. We'll go below now, with the leaders of the adventurers, to draw up the contract. Then we shall have it signed and sealed. Not before that will anyone be allowed to leave the vessel. Without another word, the group of pilgrim fathers, who had so recently come from the captain's cabin, went below to prepare the document for signature. Meanwhile, the captain gave his orders to swing the ship to the south. He vented his ill-feeling upon his unfortunate men. Make more sail there! Make more sail there, your oafs and lubbers! Look lively! Move! Move! The Mayflower groaned with this change of course. She, too, had wished for rest. She had longed for a respite. The wind regathered in her sails. The canvas billowed. Once again she strained, and she was forced to pull her way through the troublous sea. She started her run down the inhospitable coast towards Virginia in the south. An eternity passed, or so it seemed. It was, in fact, just a mere few hours, and the Pilgrim Fathers came up once again from below. One of them had some leaves of paper fluttering in his hand. The rest of the pilgrims gathered inquisitively about him. "Listen, my friends," Mr. Lovelace said. "We have drawn up the covenant as we promised. This is what we will do. We will read it to you now, and if you agree with it, then all the heads of the families will put their signature to it. And so will the adventurers. We shall keep our copies, and it shall be the agreed law of our new colony. Listen carefully as it is read over to you." The man who held the papers stood forward, lifted them up, cleared his throat, and started to read. "In the name of God, amen. We, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and of one another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation." Justice and prudence could not take it in. They could make neither head nor tail of it. What did it all mean? Body politic? What was that? Civil body politic? What did it all mean? Meanwhile, the reader was going on and on. The children stole furtive glances around them. All the people had set, solemn faces. The man's voice, reading the document, droned on and on. All of a sudden, silence. He had stopped reading. He had finished. Mr. Lovelace spoke. You have heard the covenant, my friends. This is the contract we have drawn up with the adventurers. If you agree, this will be the basis of our new colony. It's up to you, my friends. Do you agree? Let's have your opinion. Do you agree? Yes. Yes, we do agree. We agree. Are there any against? Silence. All heads glanced about them. Any against? Silence. Right. That's good. Let's get it signed. Signed at once. They marched to the captain's cabin. One by one, the Pilgrim Fathers filed past the great table and signed the contract. The head of each family signed for his household. Then it was the turn of the adventurers. Their leaders added their signatures. In a very short time, the Mayflower Compact had been signed and settled. Both parties took their copies. The Pilgrims had had enough. Their minds were made up. They would be deceived no more.